back.
And please send in your pledge.
I would like to give a shout out to all the prisoners throughout the world.
As the prison population explodes with over 2 million behind bars, only WBAI offers the prisoner shout-out line, connecting families and friends with their loved ones inside. If someone you love is doing time, or if you care about the incarcerated, record a message on the shout-out line anytime. Then tune in Saturday afternoon around 3 p.m. for the Gut Bucket Matinee. Jasper Magruder will put up the shout-outs a little after the start of the show. So call 212-209-2958. That's the prisoner shout-out line, 212-209-2958.
Miss you so much at home, man. I really do, man. Daddy loves you. Stay strong, and we'll all be all right.
All right, it's still Marjorie Moore here. A cool down Marjorie Moore, who I very seldom lose my temper on the air. I do want to say before the morning show begins, and it is going to begin in a couple of seconds with Paul DiRienzo and Santiago Nieves, that I wanted to take phone calls. We didn't even get to that part of it because I wanted to answer those questions regarding housing situations that we could take on. Sorry that we didn't get to do that. But I have to say for myself, in the middle of all of this, and I am obviously in the middle, that I have to wonder about a movement that is deceptive in that way. It's the deceptiveness, the principle of truth, is very important. I was very forthright with this guest this morning prior to coming on, and I have a serious problem with the dishonesty, the lying, the deceptiveness, and the opportunism. It is extremely arrogant when you are working very hard in your own community with tenants, with pregnant teens, with prison populations, with gardens. This is the bulk of my work. I work with individuals for healing. That's what I spend my time doing. And when I'm confronted with deceptiveness to that degree, it does catch me off guard because I don't expect it. And I don't ever want to expect it. I never want to be the kind of person that expects it. So that's it. And I wish Bajra Kilgour well in her endeavors, and that she and her tenants win their fight and keep their homes. That is the principle of life and existence, that they are entitled to a place to live. And I hope that there was something that you got out of that that discussion, those of you who are struggling with a housing issue. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Eddie Soto, who's engineering this morning, and get ready for Santiago Nieves in the morning show and Paul DiRienzo with our news for today. And don't forget, 9 o'clock Democracy Now, noon Gary Null. I always forget the person on at 10 o'clock because it changes, I think. But anyway, we're all here and we're happy to be here. And you have a great day. Thank you.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
Good morning, everybody. 7:04 in the morning. It is 73 degrees, Marjorie. All I can say is I've been there, and I think the word deception is an absolutely appropriate word for it, and I think it needs to be said, as we said yesterday on the air, Paul. I mean, there is no problem with our speaking right up front. None of us have failed to reach out to these individuals. They've never called us. They've never contacted us. So I think the level of deception then gets even higher when that happens.
Well, I think the term...
It's kind of a hit and run. And I did not hear, with all due respect, I was, you know, we're busy with the morning show and I didn't hear it. But it's very, very much like a hit and run. And you didn't see it you didn't see it coming. You don't know who did it. And they ain't going to tell you. And that's unfortunate because Marjorie's still in the studio, right, Marjorie? And you, Paul, I mean, chime in if you'd like to. I think that this would be appropriate.
I think the term for it, and I have to give Clayton Riley this for bringing it up, is bamboozled.
Hit and run bamboozled.
Yeah, and our listeners, fortunately, from the calls that we've been getting and calls I get even on my show late at night, despite these attacks and the attempt to use the internet and the term of these attacks to make it seem like there's a lot of people out there in a huge popular uprising or grassroots movement against WBAI, in fact, we understand that it comes down to a small group of individuals, many of whom we know by name, and interestingly enough, a small group of white middle-class and upper-middle-class people who've come in here on several occasions and making attempts to take over the station, mm-hmm. who we don't know who they are, who don't seem to have any connections to anybody and have never been on the scene before. And we'd like to know who those people are.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, just sticking to this, the issue of deception, I mean, and certainly bamboozled is another appropriate word, but there's a tinge to it that runs even deeper. It's about the level of distrust. Mm-hmm. And I think you put it quite appropriately, Marjorie, about this thing that we have inside mm-hmm. that still lets those who we know are not thinking our way politically or another way, inviting them on the air again, and rather they're appreciating that level of honesty that we have. And I bet you if they had said about a segment that we were going to talk about BAI, you would have said, fine, at least we're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly
phone,
right.
You know? Yeah. So it's just right up front. One thing is that I don't know of any of us stooping to that level, and I think that that's a good thing, but my point is, and your point is, it ain't going to change us to who we are about how we approach
it
things.
It disturbs me, though, that they call that organizing, and they are proud. She left here proud of herself that she did that. You see, that concerns me. This is a good person. I know this person, and she's a hard-working community person.
Let me say for the record, by the way, as I said, I did not hear this segment. I'm talking about my own experience. I won't even mention the person that happened on the air as a guest here. And I was very clear on the air, as you were, too.
I would hope that we wouldn't, with each other, if we have some sincere regard for each other's work on community issues, that would at least stand up tall when you have them on. You could be honest and say to me, look, I want to go there, and let me prepare to go there with you. But being caught, being bamboozled, being, you know, hit and run, it just doesn't work for me. And it doesn't work for me even when I'm on the other side of something and I'm fighting for something.
All it does is make people angry.
It makes you mad. And
it makes the person
like me who is inclined to trust to just, I've lost it.
For example, one caller has been calling every morning. It's really, every call we've gotten has been a very positive, informational call, wanting to know stuff about what we're talking about. So it was very interesting that we have one person, obviously you could tell by their voice, kept calling about some meeting in Huntington, Long Island. And I find that interesting. Like, where is Huntington, Long Island? Mm. You know, what groups out in Huntington, Long Island have this power, you know, to bamboozle the listeners, most of whom are inner city people here in New York City and in New Jersey. And what's the connection? What's going on here?
I think in the end, the connection and the bottom line has to be what Marjorie said, and that is, don't forget about the housing, the people, the issue. And that's why you invited your guests. That's the issue that needs to be remembered by our listeners. And it's a damn important issue. I'm having trouble paying for my own rent, so it's definitely an issue, really, not only to those individuals, but I think to every single person in the city of New York.
And one of the things we said is that, as we know that you're going to be interviewing mayoral candidates, and because they are the ones who appoint people to the Rent Stabilization Board, we want you to come down hard on them about what they're going to do with these housing issues. That's like a key issue.
It is. If there's any mobilization around any issue, I think it needs to be about rent and getting back rent stabilization, or stopping it where it is now.
Yeah.
And this might be another Bloomberg city, so it's particularly relevant.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marjorie. All right, right on target.
Thank you, Marjorie.
Have a good morning.
Keep up the great programming.
Absolutely. 7:09 in the morning. It is 73 degrees, and today we start off actually with a little bit of a sad note, more than a little bit of a sad note, but also somewhat joyous in that he has left us all this music. I'm talking about Chico O'Farrell, who has passed on. For those of you who do not know, the wonderful, incredible Afro-Cuban king, family to Mario Bauza, everyone. Tito Puente has played with about every jazz great. Name somebody. Eddie, name somebody. Dizzy Gillespie. Okay, he played with Dizzy Gillespie. Orchestra Hollow. He's a matter of fact, he helped to define what Cuban bebop was, cubop, you know, that is being played now. It's an incredible man, and we start off the show, I think, quite appropriately with a very vintage cut from the one and only Chico O'Farrell, now the late Chico O'Farrell. He has passed on. This program is dedicated to him. Yeah, Benny Goodman. There isn't, and we're going to talk more throughout the show about him in those years, because for me, a Latino who's been in New York City for a long time, let me tell you that Chico O'Farrell reflected a certain kind of solidarity between Puerto Ricans and African Americans and people of color in this city that was unmatched, I think, almost anywhere else throughout the 40s and 50s and 60s, and the clubs reflected that. You used to go to the Palladium Colgate Gardens, Hunts Point Palace, Traficoro, you got it. And then later on, the Corso and everything else. But before those years, even the Manhattan Center then was a one-level place and had incredible bands. I remember in Brooklyn, the hotel downtown Brooklyn, St. George Hotel. Those were wonderful years. And here's a cut called Avocados, Aguacate, by the one and only Chico O'Farrell, and reflects very much that big band Latino feeling and vintage late 40s. Here is the one and only Chico O'Farrell. Seven fourteen in the morning. Hello, stop that, Chico, from going. 7:14 in the morning. It is 73 degrees. This is WBI this morning, and we're talking about Chico O'Farrell. Going to talk about him a little bit more a bit later. Do want to tell you we have just received information that there is a special program that is coming on at 8 o'clock in the morning. So we will be here this morning until the 8 o'clock hour. We understand a special segment is scheduled for 8 o'clock, so we ask you to stay tuned for that. Again, 7:15 in the morning, 73 degrees, going up to a very yet uncomfortable humid day, but Paul will tell you more about that at the end of the news. Right now, here is Paul DiRienzo with the news. Paul, so you're...
Thank you, Santiago. Low-level violence threatens to upstage a ceasefire in the Mideast. The Israeli military says Palestinians fired a mortar shell at a Jewish settlement in Gaza and hurled grenades at an army post near the Egyptian border. Five Palestinians were injured in an incident that spawned conflicting reports. They were hurt either by Israeli tank shells or by their own mortar shell. An Israeli motorist was killed by gunmen late yesterday in a roadside ambush in the West Bank. In the meantime, Secretary of State Powell has met with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat to draw up a timeline for resuming peace talks. The leaders agreed to 7 days without violence and then a 6-week cooling-off period. And Haynes Westerberg was one of tens of thousands of activists who gathered on the Swedish island of Gothenburg on June 14th through the 16th to protest the summit of the European Union. Today, the 19-year-old activist is lying in critical condition in a Swedish hospital, having been shot by police who took repressive action against mass protests to new heights by using live ammunition to control crowds who had come to Gothenburg for the EU protests. Two other activists were critically injured as well, but Westberg remains in the hospital this week. He's been fighting for his life, having lost an enormous amount of blood and requiring two surgeries over the weekend. The New York City Direct Action Network is calling for a vigil, which occurred yesterday. They'll be protesting the increasingly deadly escalation of violence against mass protest actions by authorities in both Europe and the United States. Westberg's father, Gunnar Westberg, is chair of the Swedish Doctors Against Nuclear Weapons, which had extended an invitation to President George W. Bush to speaker at the Gothenburg EU summit to meet with him over nuclear-related issues. His sister, Lisa, an artist and community activist in New York City, has been with her brother since getting word he was shot. And Russian prosecutors said on Friday they had issued an arrest warrant for the head of the TV6 television station, which took on journalists who left the NTV channel after the latter's takeover by a state-dominated firm. The prosecutor general's office said Bori Petarkatashvili, an associate of self-exiled TV6 owner Boris Berezovsky, had been charged with abetting an attempt by another ally of Berezovsky to escape from custody. Nikolai Glushkov, a former senior executive at the national air carrier Aeroflot, charged with fraud, was accused in April of trying to flee custody. Police stopped him outside a medical center where he was receiving treatment while in prison pending the outcome of a criminal investigation. The prosecutor general's statement accused Petarkatashvili of setting up the circumstances of Glushkov's attempted escape. The television boss had ignored numerous summons and his whereabouts were unknown. Berezovsky hired more than 100 journalists and technical staff to work at TV6, a relatively small Moscow-based channel, after they left NTV en masse in protest at that station's takeover by natural gas monopoly Gazprom. The journalists have said the Kremlin used Gazprom to silence their criticism of the authorities. Berezovsky, a one-time Kremlin insider who fell foul of President Vladimir Putin, now lives in Western Europe. He says he fears arrest if he returns home, but has announced his intention to organize an opposition political party. Microsoft is promising to keep innovating after an appeals court yesterday set aside an order breaking up his company. Microsoft head Bill Gates said the company will press ahead with its new Windows XP operating system and Internet services. The Justice Department is weighing his options, and the White House indicates President Bush would like to see an out-of-court settlement. Microsoft competitors say they're not surprised at yesterday's decision. One CEO says Microsoft is as ruthless and brash as ever and notes it's only getting stronger. The appeals court ruled that Microsoft has violated antitrust laws but ordered a new judge to decide on a remedy. And nearly one quarter of television news jobs are held by minorities here in the United States. The highest percentage ever, according to the Radio and Television News Directors Association. The association found 24.6% of jobs in TV news departments surveyed were held by minorities. That's their term. Emerging majorities might be mine, up from 21% last year. The survey included Spanish language stations. At English speaking stations, 21.8% of news jobs are held by people of color. In radio, people of color hold 10.7% of news jobs, according to the survey conducted by the association and Ball State University released on Thursday. Women make up just under 40% of the television news workforce, 37% in radio news. However, the percentage of people of color who are news directors at TV stations fell to 8% from last year's 14%. In radio, the number of minority or people of color who are news directors has dropped by half to 4% since 1994. A total of 731 of the nation's 1,387 television stations were surveyed. 278 of the nation's 1,100 radio stations were also questioned. The Reverend Al Sharpton and two Bronx politicians held in federal prison for their protests of United States bombing exercises in Puerto Rico ended their 31-day liquid fast today. Sharpton, State Assembly person Jose Rivera, and Bronx Democratic Party chairperson Roberto Ramirez have lost about 25 pounds. They ate soup and other liquids alone. They plan to eat solid food this evening for the first time in a month. Attorney Sanford Rubenstein said the men decided to end the hunger strike to coincide with the release tomorrow morning of Rivera, Ramirez, and City Councilman Adolfo Carrion Jr. The three were sentenced to 40 days in the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn for trespassing on Navy property on the island of Vieques during a May protest. The three will have served 37 days of their term tomorrow. They were released 3 days early for good behavior. Sharpton must remain in prison until August 15th. He was issued a longer 90-day sentence due to a prior arrest for civil disobedience. Sharpton had originally vowed to remain fasting until the bombing on Vieques finally ended. Rubenstein said the fast had an impact on calling attention to the bombing of Vieques and the importance of stopping the bombing. President Bush said 2 weeks ago that the Navy will end its bombing exercises on Vieques by May 2003. And in New Jersey, state legislators are finally heading home at this hour as a 10-hour legislative session comes to a close, and this is a report from earlier this morning. Legislators crammed more than 200 bills into their final major legislative session before ending their session shortly after 1 a.m. today. It was their last session before the November elections. Early last night, the state Senate approved the state's $22.9 billion budget. Assembly members gave their approval a few hours later. The Senate also approved an amendment to the state constitution regarding parental notification for abortion and other medical procedures. But the Republican-sponsored bill won't be on the November ballot. Only 21 senators voted for the bill rather than the 24-member supermajority needed. And the Los Angeles County Children's Services Agency confirms that stand-up comic Paula Poundstone is charged with child abuse against her own children. Poundstone was arrested and charged Wednesday with three counts of committing a lewd act on a girl under 14 and with endangering four other children. Poundstone has three adopted children and two foster children. All five are now in the care of the Children's Services Agency. The comic has been released on $200,000 bail and is set to be arraigned on July 27th in Santa Monica Municipal Court. She could get 13 years in prison if convicted. The head of the Children's Services Agency says she can't talk about the circumstances, but says Poundstone has to be presumed innocent. And that's a little bit of today's news. Let's go to a break, and then Santiago Nieves and WBAI This Morning. Tu me respires, tu me respires, tu me respires.
Yeah. Midnight Ravers on Friday, June 29th at midnight, right through to 3 a.m. for a musical communion as we take a look at the phenomena known as Jamaican ska over WBAI 99.5 on your FM radio dial.
The Midnight Ravers for every show is a special.
Be wise. Be fair, be sure, be there, behave, beware.
You're tuned to High Five, WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial, New York.
Music is a mistake. It's the most noise conveying the least information. See, I come from a silent world. I never heard my parents say, if we're going out to eat, let's find a quiet restaurant.
Coffee, I take tea, my dear. I like my toast on one side. You can hear it in my accent when I talk. I'm an Englishman in New York.
This is Quentin Crisp on WBAI in New York City. You have to work quite hard to understand the radio.
...7:32 in the morning. Welcome to WBAI this morning. It is 73 degrees going up to a very high and humid day here in New York. This is WBAI this morning. My name is Santiago Nieves, and I'm here with Paul DiRienzo. At 8 o'clock in the morning, we have a special program that's coming up. We're going to tell you a little bit more about it a bit later. But first, here is Paul with a few more news updates. Today, we celebrate the life of Chico O'Farrell, the great Afro-Cuban jazz great, and we'll talk about him also a little bit more later in the program. Paul, it's all yours.
Thank you, Santiago. The UN War Crimes Tribunal's president calls it an irreversible step in the international fight against impunity. Slobodan Milosevic has arrived at the tribunal's home in the Netherlands to face war crimes charges. The former Yugoslav dictator will be the first former head of state to face the court. Belgrade authorities turned over Milosevic yesterday. He'll face charges for his alleged role in atrocities in Kosovo. One of his attorneys says Milosevic was essentially kidnapped. And at least 40 members of Congress have signed onto a letter supporting clemency for native New Yorker Lori Berenson, who was sentenced to 20 years in Peru's prisons for collaborating with rebels. The letter is being circulated by Democratic Congress member Carolyn Maloney, whose Manhattan district is home to Lori's parents, Mark and Rhoda Berenson. The Berensons were in Washington, D.C. today and said they're pleading with the way, they're pleased with the way the Bush administration pressed Lori's case in visits with Peruvian President-elect Alejandro Toledo. The letter calls on sitting Peruvian President Valentin Paniagua to grant Lori Berenson clemency before he leaves office next month. Berenson, who has already served more than 5 years in Peruvian jails, has maintained her innocence. The Berenson case arose in meetings Toledo had with President Bush and Secretary of State Colin Powell in recent days. A spokeswoman said Bush urged Toledo to consider humanitarian concerns in the case. And the Army has grounded its fleet of attack helicopters for the third time in 2 years. The tail rotor blades on all 742 Apache helicopters will be inspected before the choppers are allowed to fly again. The action follows a June 11th incident in which the tail rotor assembly fell off an Apache being flown by an Israeli pilot. CNN quotes an unidentified official as saying it could take as long as 3 months to complete all the inspections. Last December, the fleet was grounded to fix a flaw in the flight control system And in November 1999, the Army halted flights to replace tail rotor bearings or transmission parts. The Apache is the Army's best attack helicopter and was used extensively against Iraq in the 1991 Gulf War. And a Long Island attorney and two others are among those being charged with selling FBI files to organized crime figures and other suspects. 10 people, including an FBI analyst and a former agent, have been charged in the scheme. Dix Hills Long Island attorney Herbert Jacoby was released on $1 million bail at his arraignment in Central Islip Federal Court yesterday. Jacoby's charged with conspiracy to receive stolen documents, obstruction of justice, and making false statements to law enforcement. Jacoby is an attorney for James Hill, an FBI analyst in the agency's Las Vegas Bureau, who is also charged with the scheme. Sandra Marino and her husband William Marino of Huntington are charged with conspiracy to receive stolen FBI documents and obstruction of justice. The couple runs a real estate firm on Long Island. They are each free on $500,000 bail. They face up to 15 years if convicted of all charges. Authorities say the Marinos are also suspects in a mortgage fraud investigation in Brooklyn. And there's a setback for Interstate 80 repairs. State transportation officials, that's in New Jersey, plan to shut down westbound lanes of I-80 tonight to repair. This is last night. They did shut down those westbound lanes last night to repair heat-related ruttings. That comes a day after opening the lanes to traffic following a fiery crash last week. The state planned to shut the lanes near exit 39. Traffic will be diverted to Route 46. The heavily traveled highway's westbound lanes have been closed at exit 42 since the crash involving a fuel tanker on Friday. A poll of the users of the carpoint.com website shows lukewarm support for the new law in New York banning the use of handheld cell phones while driving. In the poll, 47% of those responding say operating a cell phone while driving without a hands-free device should be illegal. The poll of 836 randomly contacted people was taken during the week of June 18th. It also found that 62% of those responding say they have never used a hand-free device, and 54% say they are willing to use one. The results have a margin sampling error of 4 percentage points. And finally, Suffolk County Executive Robert Gaffney has vetoed a bill to establish a minimum wage policy for the county's vendors, contractors, and subcontractors. The bill, which passed the county legislature by a vote of 17-1, called for a $9 an hour wage with health benefits and $10.25 an hour without benefits. The bill now goes back to the county legislature. 12 votes are needed to override Gaffney's veto. Gaffney said the bill hasn't been examined carefully enough and that all its possible implications haven't been studied. Gaffney proposed a task force to study the social and fiscal consequences of the bill. And I'm Paul DiRienzo. That's some of the news this morning. And I'll throw it to you, Santiago, although with the observation that I find it interesting that in the Army Apache helicopter story, they use the term June 11th incident, in which the tail rotor assembly fell off an Apache being flown by an Israeli pilot. Incident instead of accident? That's what I wanted to say, accident, right?
It's an
accident.
I think so.
What's an incident and an accident?
Well, it depends, I guess.
Right. And why their choice of that word.
If you're responsible, it's an incident.
My apologies to the people of Huntington, Long Island. I immediately then read a story about Huntington, Long Island, after saying I didn't know where the hell it was or care, but I do care, and I do love the people out there in Huntington, and I know that they've not all been bamboozled. And to those folks, I hope your problems with FBI selling lawyers are over soon.
But of course, a landmark ruling, Microsoft, as you know, victory, a landmark ruling that says, among other things, the new rules of capitalism are going to change. I mean, it affects just about everyone. So also the change in what is going to happen in business, its effect on the market, and in business, its effect on us. We all, as consumers, there isn't anyone that I know that writes or is part of the world today that doesn't have a computer with them. And computer means Microsoft, so I don't know of anyone that hasn't been touched by it. It is 7:39 in the morning. Also want to give you a quick update on the stories we've been covering earlier this week and throughout the weeks, and that is on the Vieques 4. Those who are arrested for civil disobedience and are in jail, the Reverend Al Sharpton, remains in jail. However, released from jail are the Democratic head in the Bronx, Roberta Ramirez, Assemblyman Jose, in I forget his last name, forgive me, in the Bronx, and also Adolfo Carrion, City Councilman, but Jose Rivera, forgive me, City Councilman. So those three are out, but the Reverend remains in jail, as does, as far as we know, the Reverend Jesse Jackson's wife, Jackie. 2-1, all right, 7:40 in the morning, I'm getting all kinds of signals. Do want to tell you that at 8 o'clock in the morning, we do have a special program that's coming on. It is David Korn. He's the editor of The Nation magazine. It's the David Korn Show, and it's coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, right after WBAI this morning. Dave will be talking, among other things. He'll be examining the interplay between politics, entertainment, and other aspects of American culture, as well as the clash that results with politicians when they're out of step with the public opinion. So look forward to that at 8 o'clock this morning. It is 7:40 in the morning. We are talking about the great Chico O'Farrell, who has passed on. And here is another vintage cut from Chico O'Farrell. We are dedicating this to him. I did an interview with Chico O'Farrell and his son Arturo O'Farrell, who we are reaching out to and will be on the show soon. Two great legends. But here is some vintage Chico O'Farrell.
Thank you.
7:50 in the morning. This is WBAI this morning. We are swinging in the morning. We are giving it to the one and only Chico O'Farrell, too. I can't even see what the what cut is that? This woman can see better than I can.
I don't know.
Anyway, it is 7:50 in the morning. This is WBAI this morning. My name is Santiago Nieres. And that woman's voice you hear is Marjorie Moore, who has joined us with our outro here. We're going to go out the door in just a minute.
Anga?
You got it.
E. Jimmy. Jimmy.
From the...
from the Caravana
Cubana CD. Okay.
Late night session.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well,
7:50 in the morning. This is WBAI this morning. And we're almost out of here. Santiago Nieves here with Paul DiRienzo and Marjorie Moore. A special program is coming up. It is the David Korn Show. He's coming up in at the 8 o'clock hour. He's the editor of The Nation magazine. David will be examining, among other things, the interplay between politics, entertainment, and other aspects of American culture, as well as the clash that results with politicians or when politicians are out of step with public opinion. So it's going to be a busy show, that's for sure.
Oh, boy, I'm looking forward to it.
It is 7:51. And Marjorie, I just thought I'd invite you all. We're almost, let's say, about 3.5 minutes to get out of here. And I thought it might be an appropriate time to have some end notes. And I'm sorry you had a bit of a difficult time on your show. I share your pain.
I just want to say thank you to all the calls that I just received and the emails already this morning asking us to continue to stay strong, to continue to be open and bring people on in the best sense of the word, that, you know, don't close my heart, keep it open, and that there are people who can be honest out there who are working very hard and really can see what the issues truly are. And those of you who want a housing show, I promise I will do it again next week, and we'll focus really on the issues that we have to be concerned with. And it's Paul and Santiago and myself and all of us here at the station. We are standing strong, and we're going to continue to work very hard
to
bring those issues to the listeners.
Absolutely, and you've been doing it, and I think we've been doing it too, and despite the fact that there has been some in-house, outhouse politics, and we have been able to take it here because we have been on the front lines. And let me tell you, I speak for myself, and I know I speak for you, Marjorie, and for you, Paul, that there are a few people who have taken it as much on the front lines and on the air as we three. And I want to give you as colleagues a great deal of credit for the integrity that all of you have displayed in the face of this kind of attack. And the fact that we continue to take calls really says what you're talking about, Marjorie,
yeah,
that no matter what, we will continue our trust.
That's it.
And in what people say. We are not choreographing our calls and screening them. We take the good, the bad, and
That's
the ugly.
Right.
That's about a level of trust and free speech that is essential here at this radio station.
That's
I think
right.
A lot of people take for granted. So remember that. When you get calls knocking you, there are 80 calls
right.
behind that also ready to support you. We learned that yesterday.
I didn't get one negative call just now. People want us to keep trying to do the work that we've set about to do here. And we're not afraid. We're undaunted. I am particularly not afraid.
Oh, my
Never
goodness,
Never get that
no.
impression.
No, and Paul is uncharacteristically quiet.
A little discouraged. But about people who you think you know, you find out you don't know.
Hmm.
But the issues are supreme. We have to take care of these community issues, or people will be sitting in the street, hungry, broke, homeless. And I don't want a city like that.
I think, and I'll be more direct. I think one of the problems that we're having in our movement is that we failed so many times. You know, rents continue to spiral.
That's
gentrification
right.
has taken over the Lower East Side. Let's face it, a lot of the groups that consider themselves progressive groups that have aligned against us and attacked us have failed in their mission over the years. They've not been able to stop a lot of things, wars from happening. They've not been able to reverse the right-wing swing in Washington or in America. And I think that it's time to question these so-called progressive organizations. Many of them have been around for years, and some of these progressive leaders who've been around for years that people are putting so much trust in for no other reason than they've heard their names for so long
yeah.
and think they share a personal friendship with them.
Yeah.
These people, I'm afraid to say, look around you. Look around the streets of New York. The progressive, so-called progressive movement has failed.
Well, thank you. The last
That's
words
why
are,
we're here, yeah. to try and pick up the pieces and
it
build
is.
A new one.
And we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and that's important, and we see the issues and how important they are to our listenership, and we're going to continue to do that here. On WBAI this morning. Again, the David Corns Show is coming up. I think you'll find it real interesting. It is 7:55 exactly in the morning, 76 degrees going up to 92 in New York, a hot day. That's it for us. Stay tuned for the David Corns Show. This is WBAI 99.5 FM Pacifica Radio in New York. Stay with us.
Stuck in the desert with only your hydrogen fuel cell car. What do you do for water? Put a glass beneath the tailpipe and hit the ignition. Today on the David Corns Show, we'll take a ride in a fuel cell powered car. Industry insiders say fuel cells, an emissions-free energy source that produces only water as a waste product, could end our dependence on oil. But, they say, the Bush administration is not doing enough to make fuel cells an everyday reality. And Molly Ivins, columnist and author. She's from Texas, and she knows the Bushes better than she wants to, especially Shrub, which is her name for our president. I'll be speaking with Molly, and she'll tell us whether she thinks Shrub has grown into a full Bush. Fuel cells and Molly Ivins. Buckle up and put down that cell phone. It's the David Corns Show on Pacifica Radio. When George Bush and Dick Cheney released their energy plan several weeks ago, it was hardly a surprise. It called for more oil drilling and more nuclear power plants. And it paid only lip service to conservation and alternative technologies. A few days ago, businesses that are developing hydrogen fuel cells, a cleaner and sustainable energy source that can be emissions-free, held an expo on Capitol Hill. The exhibits were a convincing display that fuel cells, which produce water as a waste product, are the wave of the future, or at least should be. When I spoke with the experts there, they all said that the Bush administration is not doing enough to make this energy source an everyday reality. My first stop at the Fuel Cell Expo was the booth of Texaco Energy Systems, where Carol Bailey offered her short explanation of how a fuel cell works.
Fuel cells, basically, you can think of them as a battery. It's a chemical reaction that takes hydrogen and chemically creates that into electricity.
By doing what to the hydrogen?
Basically, stripping off the electrons within the hydrogen, and that creates DC electricity. You can convert the DC electricity to AC electricity for your home, or you can keep it as DC electricity for your vehicle.
And the waste product produced by that is?
Pure water.
Water that you can drink?
Water that you can actually drink. We have our fishbowl display back here. You can see the water from the photograph from the tailpipe. It's dripping into a fishbowl, and the fish look relatively happy with it.
Happy fish swimming in Texaco water.
Like
now,
that.
So we're talking to Carol Bailey, who's with Texaco Energy Systems at the Fuel Cell Expo. And I see a stack of red and black cars here with wheels that don't move, by the way. What's the point?